So you can see why this is all here. We can see why this topic is so important, because people are doing it. It's just how then how you repurpose and reinvest behind those empty shells off.
Welcome back to the Word Bold Podcast, where we chat with the leaders in commercial real estate to answer all questions space as a service. This podcast is for anyone involved in commercial real estate in any way. If you're an investor, a fund manager, developer, property manager, agent, or broker, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm your host, Caleb Parker, and in this episode, we're going to unpack the shifting expectations of customers for the office. With me is John Gravett, Managing Director at Cluttons LLP, who's sharing insights from the evolving needs of tenants and how he believes real estate should navigate this rapidly changing market. We cover everything from the surge in demand for flexible, agile work environments to the non-negotiable need for top-notch connectivity in our offices. John and I also tackle the green revolution in real estate, discussing how sustainability isn't just a buzzword, but a crucial pivot for the industry. Throughout our chat, we explore the challenges of shifting from traditional office models to dynamic, tech-enabled spaces that meet the modern workers' needs. And yes, we're also looking at the hurdles, from the financial to the cultural, that come with transforming our approach to the office. And before we get into the conversation, I want to extend a big thank you to our headline sponsor this season, Freshwave. They're the heroes behind the scenes, ensuring that our workspaces stay connected, making significant difference in how we collaborate and experience the workplace. Now, Jeff, let's kick it. Welcome back to the Word Bold Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Parker, and today I'm sitting with John Gravett, Managing Director at Cluttons LLP. From living rooms to boardrooms, Cluttons is a real estate company founded in 1765 with a team of over 250 people focused on UK real estate. John has over 23 years of corporate real estate experience, ranging from strategic portfolio management, transactional experience, portfolio data management, and supporting clients to deliver major projects. He also led the development of bespoke TMT property management software with specialist IT developers, providing a unique service offering to clients. TMT, if you don't know, is technology, media, and telecoms. John consults and reports to heads of real estate, as well as working with financial, procurement, and HR directors on real estate matters, including merger and acquisitions, portfolio strategies, cost-saving initiatives, and consolidation opportunities. Welcome to the Workable Podcast, John.
Thank you very much, Caleb. Thanks for having me.
It's good to be here in person at 22 Bishopsgate Inside Exchange. We had a good walk around just a moment ago. What do you think?
No, it's fabulous. I must admit, first time here at Bishopsgate, and before here generated, the atmosphere is great. And yeah, really impressed.
It's a fun place to come sometimes. I have to say that I wasn't here for a couple of weeks and missed it. And this week I've been here almost every day, literally.
I can imagine, I can see why. And yeah, you can just feel the vibe, see the people, you know, milling around. It's great. And I love the theatre studio you got there. I've got a feeling I may be looking to book that at some point.
We'll take it. And I appreciate the word vibe. That is important to me for the future of office real estate. Look, you know, in this podcast, John, we've been discussing for the last few years the evolving needs of companies and how the office no longer has a monopoly on work. But moving beyond the binary conversation of home versus the office, it's becoming clear that choice and flexibility is being adopted by many companies. And while so many square foot sit empty today, I believe the office still has a crucial role to play as a tool in the platform of work. And that's what I want to talk to you about. So my question to you is, how are your customers' expectations of the office changing?
They're changing through the need for maybe smaller space, more dynamic space. Yeah, usual word, let's use the typical word, agile space. They want it to use a little bit differently, but they still need a home. They still need somewhere to go to. Staff still want to come in, not as frequently as obviously they used to, but they want to come in. They want to be together and collaborate and work. The usual standard words we always hear about. But people are confused. I think people are still C-suite, top-level people sort of understand maybe a vision. They've got a corporate culture, they've got an HR policy, they're trying to drive an agenda. But implementation of that, I think, is the tricky part. And I think some people, some clients, some of the market out there just struggles with actual implementation. And then that flips onto the state of the market where you've got great buildings like this, for example, but a lot of second, third tier level property isn't kitted out, isn't ready for this yet. So there's a lot of repurposing to be done, which is very expensive and on traditional leasing terms is difficult to achieve. So we're getting the sort of rocky periods of a very traditional marketplace, very traditional property, historic property, being London itself, and it's difficult to blend it into this new way of working. So we're hitting those, I believe we're hitting those choppy waters of how we make it happen.
Choppy waters or opportunistic environments might be the same thing. And I think, you know, if we look in, across the globe, there's been quite a few different headlines that's come out. Just yesterday in Boston, it was announced that an asset sold for 74% less than what it was valued previously. And there's obviously a repricing going on with millions of square foot sitting at the. So do you expect the repricing to continue? Have we hit rock bottom yet?
I don't know, but I do think we are reaching the bottom. There may be a little bit more to go, but there's not a dramatically, I don't think, more to go. But the key thing is it's still moving traditional space into a new flexible type. And that's it's how that repricing gets bedded in and how that gets structured into it. Because there's a lot of money needed to repurpose property, make it sustainable, make it occupier friendly. And it is that investment arm, that CapEx, that is, I think, that the key ingredient to success.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have been talking about that as well across the seasons of the podcast around how do you make that equation work? Because it is expensive to repurpose and reposition. But if that's what customers want, we have to do it. So how do you make sure that investors can get an ROI? And maybe it requires a different investor profile, different yields, because real estate is becoming operational. Just recently, Refire, a big German publication, published an article about Flex. And I've said Flex is on fire for some time. Their article is backed up with lots of data showing in many markets, demand for Flex is up 10x. So does that lean into what you're seeing with your customers as well?
We're definitely seeing the need for more flexible space, but it's a complete mix from all areas, from traditional space through to acquiring space that's pre-fitted out with Cat A levels through to actual space as a service and actually having that blend in. Space as a service definitely has been increasing, and people need it as sort of collaborations, a space to innovate, place to go and find what new ways of working, but it complements. It's not a replacement of. So it's really making sure, and I suppose especially here in the London market, it's an additional pillar of space that people want to utilize and they'll call upon. So it's not a takeover, but it's a very strong supplement to the main office workspace.
So let's talk about that, because we've mentioned the repurposing. And if we talk about the fact that we know that there's a lot of buildings out there that need to be repurposed, we've got to get the equation right. And we hear this phrase, flight to quality. And what I see is that there's occupiers, office customers that have these legacy leases that are coming up with a lease event. Maybe it's an expiry, maybe it's a break clause, and they're leaving that building and they're going into newer buildings that are better, something like 22 Bishopsgate, lots of amenities. What is it in that flight to quality that you look for? And I want to maybe touch on ESG first. You know, Property Week published an article about the UBS sustainability white paper that came out saying that failing to retrofit is not an option. So we talk about all of these buildings, potentially stranded assets coming up. So do you really believe that corporates leaving legacy leases will be looking to go into more sustainable buildings?
100%. We're driving that culture where we need nice, good, strong, sustainable space. We need it for the reasons of supporting the environment, supporting the whole ecosystem that we have. So we need to do that. As corporate entities, we need to drive that. And I think it's the expectation of employees and the wider public. So that is going to happen. It is happening. Just ourselves, we have moved in August to a new office on Cannon Street. We on purpose found a building that was BREEAM rated A, excellent. But we were specifically looking for great quality to make sure we improved our footprint as a business. And I think so many of our clients, so many of the market are looking for similar things. So the older stock has to be looked into, has to be invested in and repurposed, and the improving quality of sustainability put up in the building. It's an absolute must. It has to happen.
Well, that becomes a big CapEx cost. But in season 9 of the Workable Podcast at MIPIM, Lizette Van Dorn from Urban Land Institute said it's not a cost, it's an investment, because failing to do so, you won't have customers anymore. And so on the flip side of that question I asked you, do you think companies won't go into buildings because they haven't retrofitted for sustainability?
I think there is a strong likelihood they will not go into buildings. They need to hit those markers, and it's only going to get more and more. Yes, we've had a little bit of flux in the political environment the last few weeks, where there's been maybe some slight changes on policy around this. But I think whatever it is longer term, over the next parliament, one after that, is going to be very much driven about sustainability, and it'll be driven even more and more, is my actual gut instinct on that. So businesses have to look at good quality stock, and investment has to be put in at improving the quality. Otherwise, looking back with hindsight in 5-10 years time, they'll look back and there'll be massive regret.
That's a big value bomb.
Well, continuing on with the flight to quality topic, yeah. Another point that's come up is the fit well and the well-being aspects of a building. There is a Fitwell certification now. It was just launched to standardize real estate social impact, and it's being used by managers like PGIM Real Estate. Do you think customers will choose buildings ranked higher up on the S, a part of ESG?
I think the S probably more so. I think that's probably slightly more important to the employees, isn't it? It's the actual the workforce. You're there to try and bring them in, give them a safe, happy and positive place to work from. And I think there's so many factors that I think all those elements are going to be so critical to make them want to come back and get the most out of them going forward. We've got a very creative workforce, even more so with the, you know, the 20 pluses coming through and the younger beneath that coming through in the next 20 years that they'll want that space. So unless we start now to really embed that ability with solid connectivity, with giving them the right applications, the right access to events, social events, well-being events, etc., I think it's just essential. Are we doing it at the moment effectively? No. There are some good little, you know, projects out there that go on across the UK, but it's not standardized, but it will become, I think, over the next few years.
Why? How are you? Can you hear me? Sorry, you're breaking up.
80% of mobile phone calls are made from inside buildings. And while energy-efficient building materials like low-E glass are good for the environment, they block mobile signal entering from outdoors. Poor indoor mobile signal can mean lower productivity for businesses, make buildings less appealing to prospective tenants, and ultimately impact the valuation of the building itself. Freshwave solves this problem. We deploy in-building mobile systems that connect directly to the mobile network you need, whether that's just one operator or four. This guarantees the quality of service. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
I want to pick up on one of the key words you said there, connectivity. Obviously, Freshwave is our headline sponsor for this season.
That's right.
And I know you know them very well, but I have to ask, where does connectivity come into the conversation with customers when it comes to flight to quality?
I have to be honest, and I think it is very low down the radar. And this is one of my personal sort of ambitions, is to raise the profile of connectivity. Connectivity in buildings is essential. We go into work, we use all our devices, but we try and do building monitoring. We look at all this remote sensing. We look at booking meeting rooms. Everything we do is actually plugged into a cable, which goes back to provide Internet of Things. And I feel that the building industry, the property industry, are very much set back from that, and they treat it as an afterthought. So they look at the main amenities, they look at building a great building, but they forget about the need to get good connectivity and how they embed it. So you've got a very agile workforce and you've got a great flexibility in the building. So it needs to be raised high up the agenda from local authorities, from central government, but then also the property industry needs to step up on this one. C-suite, again, I go back to that topic. They talk about it quite nicely. Some of the CTOs talk about it, but embedding it at operational level, property management level, state management level, operational building management level, it's not there yet, and education isn't there yet.
Well, we talk about the sustainability white papers. We talk about the Fitwel certification. This season, we also had Wired Score on the as an episode, and talking about how they're helping the rank buildings and their connectivity status. And it seems to be that, at least according to Wired Score, of course they would say this, but you know, buildings assets that have a higher Wired Score also have a higher NOI, a higher rent that they can charge. But you know, if I break it down back down to the user and you know, come away from the CEO and the CFO, as a user, like my connectivity is, it's like oxygen for me. If I don't have access to internet, the cloud, I can't do my work.
Yeah.
And so, but with all of this flight to quality and repurposing, there's so many different priorities. And if it's way down on the totem pole from a customer's mind, why should a landlord be even thinking about it?
Because to let the building, to get the right occupational rate, it needs to have great connectivity. So they've got to make it happen, I believe, for the occupiers, for people to come and use their building. Now, WiredScore, I think absolutely right. You know, I think they are getting better rentals by having better connectivity. I think also buildings have a much lower vacancy rate with better connectivity. And this is when it's going to be a problem for the more sort of tertiary stock in sort of our cities in the UK that haven't got that right connectivity, because then they're simply not going to be able to let. Because as you said, if you can't connect to the cloud, you can't get your devices working, you put an employee or a customer journey, they walk into the commute in, they want connectivity into their place of work, they walk into the building, they want to be able to use their personal device, they then want to flip to their work device, they need to float from one room to the other, from one meeting room to the other, to one hot desk to the other. Everything is just constantly flowing. And if you haven't got the right connectivity pattern and strategy in place, then they can't do that. And therefore, they're going to have an unhappy workforce, and the workforce doesn't come into the place you want it to come into. Very logical. But actually, that strategy, that implementation isn't really embedded in the majority of cases. You have, again, this building, fabulous building. It's been well thought out. It was quite obvious when I walked in from the very beginning. You can see the journeys there. But again, this should in future be the norm, not the exception.
I agree. And I've heard horror stories from people I won't name, who have gone into their building and left because their internet dropped and they felt like they were more connected at home. And so if we've got this issue about, you know, well, what are going to get people back into the office? Well, what's going to keep people away from the office? If you don't have good connectivity, then obviously that will be one of those things.
Absolutely. And companies like Freshwave are going to be integral to that. You know, we need to have organizations helping support the property industry to put infrastructure and to manage infrastructure in the buildings. It's as simple as that. And we always talk about there's a, in the property world, there's documents like a way leave. Way leaves can be, you know, very simple, but these can be the biggest blockers to getting a cable into a building to give connectivity. So often, and we find it at Clutton's Acting for our clients, that it's the one document that we really need to work on is the way leave document to make sure we put it on the radar. When you're putting out the project plan for fitting out a building, for developing a building, it shouldn't be the afterthought. It should be part of the whole structure. When you're putting your utilities in, you'll need to get the broadband in, the fixed line connections in, and that will require a way leave. And it shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be at the front and center of the project management and the development team. My biggest pet peeve is, for me, because I am so focused on it, it is the lack of awareness and education about connectivity, the needing to have 5G, the need to work with mobile operators, the need to work with aggregators, et cetera, to actually make buildings come alive. To make buildings like this, we need to work far more collaboratively on that. And it simply doesn't happen. We are still, as an industry, very traditionalist. We keep talking about agile working, flexible space, flexible working, et cetera. We talk about consumer journeys. We talk about looking after employees, the well-being, et cetera. And it's not all because of connectivity, but it is such an important pillar. And if we don't think about it and put that strategy in place, you aren't going to get all the other things that domino effect off it. So it's not the be-all or end-all, but it is a really important part. And it just, probably tell, frustrates me, it grates me that it is such a battle to put it on people's radars.
So coming back to your customers, your clients who you're helping roll out these new strategies as they evolve their workplace strategy. Can you talk about some examples?
Well, we've got a quite a diverse client base, but quite a few of them, some of them have got some quite key central London locations, maybe some smaller freehold office locations, commercial units, which we're certainly looking to offload for them now. And they're looking to change the way they operate and then move into more flexible space, be that space as a service, going into more flexi space, or be that in more mainstream leasing events. But moving away from that freehold type interest, which is just an interesting flow of releasing capital and putting that back in and reinvesting their funds elsewhere. And then obviously then moving on with more flexible, agile working, because you know their staff are looking for different things. So working either for charities, working for corporates. So we work for both sides quite a lot, but both have that similar pattern that the staff need something a bit different. The employees are looking for something different and they're needing to change the way their setup is. So moving from very traditional freehold type space. And they don't want to necessarily put all the investment into repurposing it, like we mentioned earlier on. So maybe just the disposal of it and moving away and finding some new lease space or moving to flexi space is where they're tending to go to now. So you can see why this is all here. We can see why this topic is so important, because people are doing it. It's just how you repurpose and reinvest behind those empty shells afterwards.
Well, look, it's been a couple of years now, but just coming on what you're saying there, I remember BP did a sale disposal of one of their assets in the West End. And then they then leased 50,000 square foot from Blackstone, the office group. Is that the kind of scale you're seeing?
Well, I would love to say our clients would be of that size and nature, but to be honest, they're not that size, but they are doing that similar pattern. That pattern is starting to happen more and more. So we are seeing that, but from our clients' perspective, we're doing it on a slightly smaller scale.
Well, here's a crazy one. So can you imagine a corporate occupier like that who has the freehold and they want to take that capital back, doing a sale to a landlord, flex operator, that then they then in turn get it repurposed and lease it back, giving up a lot of the footprint, getting the cash back in their balance sheet, but then staying in the same asset?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a popular theme. I mean, corporates do it. And you look at, I mean, the corporates who work on some of the big estates, I'm thinking the ones in Slough, you got Sega, et cetera. A lot of that has been built up by hoovering up those sell and lease backs and re-gearing and putting the occupiers back in there. So, you know, it's a very common model all round. It's just going to happen more and more, but probably now on the smaller scale. It's going to start looking at the smaller units and the smaller buildings. Now they can be amalgamated into this bigger scheme rather than just the 150 square feet plus buildings.
So I'm going to end this on something really positive here, because we talked about your pet peeve earlier. What would you say is like the biggest opportunity right now in our industry that's not being tackled?
Biggest opportunity not being tackled, I would probably say is investing in the infrastructure. So investors, landlords working with the infrastructure providers to try and make sure that their connectivity from public realm into buildings and the amalgamation of it actually happens. I think me as an individual, I want to walk from the tube station into the building to my desk with continuous coverage, no issues. And I think that to me has got to be a really ambitious target that we can just move freely and make that happen.
I love how your pet peeve and your biggest opportunity are tied together.
Well, it's strange that.
Look, this has been fantastic and a fun conversation. I look forward to continuing to have offline conversations with you about some of these opportunities that we're talking about. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Caleb. Thanks so much for having me and good luck with season 11. And thanks to Freshwave.
Yeah, thanks to Freshwave for sure. I want to make sure that we put a link in the show notes to your social media so people can connect with you. And of course, it's a great time for me to give another shout out to Freshwave, our headline sponsors. And thank you for tuning in. Until next time, take care of yourself.
Mobile signal inside buildings is a must-have, and connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, Freshwave, delivers it with flexible commercial terms that suit you. From landlord-funded mobile systems to pay-as-you-occupy, or a mixture of the two, we work with you to deliver the digital connectivity you and your building needs. So whether you're a real estate developer, landlord, or tenant, we'll make sure you're on. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And remember, fortune favors the bold. Drum roll, please. P.S. If you want to find out about future-proofing your portfolio, head over to newflex.com.
Attention business owners, my name is Jason Allen Scott and I've got a game-changing opportunity. At least I think it is, and so do my clients. Are you ready to build a wildly successful business from your podcast or use your podcast to increase the success of your business? Why not try Podcasting for Business, the ultimate program to monetize your message and skyrocket your success? I'll work closely with you to refine your business model, revenue streams, and messaging, ensuring your podcast becomes a powerful tool for driving growth and generating income, just like we've done for so many clients before. As a seasoned podcasting coach, I've helped countless entrepreneurs transform their podcasts into thriving, profitable ventures. Our unique hybrid coaching model combines online learning with personalized one-to-one coaching calls. Together, we'll fine-tune your podcast's business potential, creating a clear roadmap to success that aligns with your goals and vision. Don't miss this opportunity to transform your podcast into a profitable business. Visit podcastingforbusiness.co today and take the first steps towards unlocking your podcasting potential. Let's build something special together.